I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. Another thriller at Allegiant Stadium. The Dolphins put up 14 quick points off the back of a pick six from Derek Carr and a wide open run near the red zone. The Raiders go on to score 28 points, leaving the Dolphins out of the end zone until the very end. Head to overtime, an exchange of field goals. Last points on the board. Last team to walk away with their heads held high. Raiders beat the Dolphins 31-28. Revenge game from last season. Equal thriller to the last season loss to the Dolphins. And if I die from a heart attack from watching the Raiders, then so be it.
Yeah, I told you before we started, I don't know if I'm going to make it this year. This is a lot. It's a lot of stress on my heart. I'm not in the best physical condition.
No, you're in great shape. No, you're lying. No, you're doing great.
A great win, man.
No, it's not a great win. It is a win. We are 3-0, and we won.
Hear me out, man.
Okay, all right. Okay.
It's a great win because the last time we saw this happen to us was in Atlanta.
Okay.
And we never bounced back. Both sides of the ball, defense, offense, special teams, neither one of us. So we came back in and we fought hard. And, I said it on the Wednesday's preview show.
Mm-hmm.
The only way they're going to beat us is if we beat ourselves. If we turn the ball over and if we give them short fields, that's how they can beat us. And that's how they got their lead. And until the very end, I don't know what the fuck got into Jacoby Brissett at the end of that game. But, that was the only way we were going to lose this game. I said we could run on him. Peyton fucking Barber got 111 yards or something like that, 111 yards. We were able to run. This is the kind of if you're looking at the positives, this is the kind of game that you can – look back on it and be like, okay, if we don't come correct from the very beginning, this is a team that lost 35-0 last week.
Did you really know how to make an thrilling overtime win sound depressing, Soto? You're really dragging this show down. We are.
I said it was a great win. You said it wasn't.
You're like, it's such a great win, and we got to do this. Hey, how about this?
I'm physically drained.
Via NFL research, the Raiders are the first team in NFL history to start 3-0 over three teams that had 10-plus win seasons the season before. Historic three-game win streak. Everyone's like, oh, no, you're only 2-0. Oh, you're only 3-0. Why are you guys so sad? Relax, it's a long season. I can't believe you guys are all pumped about that. No, we beat the Ravens, we beat the Steelers, and we beat the Dolphins. Every single one of them, 10-game win teams from last season. Yeah, there's injuries there. We had injuries, too. This was a really, really big deal, right? I get it. Okay, they were not a great team. Backup quarterback, right? What is it with backup quarterbacks in Miami giving us a run for our money? They're like goddamn kryptonite to the Raiders. But my point being, like, the data says that it's a big deal, right? The excitement says it's a big deal. 3-0 over three teams that were fantastic last season. No one else can claim that. And if you do the MMA math, right? Like, the Raiders beat the Ravens, who beat the Chiefs. The Raiders beat the Steelers, who beat the Bills. By NFL math, Raiders are the best team in the AFC.
Well, by record, too. I think they're they're up there. No one's better than them. But it's confidence building. At the same time, it's a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the good teams with good leadership with this team seems to have will use it as, I mean, they'll talk about it like, hey guys, if we don't start off well, this is what could happen, but you guys came back, you guys fought hard, you guys made it happen. And this is a different in some respects, it was the team that I saw on tape the first two games. And I think we did a lot to help the Dolphins, the spotting them basically. You know, in your part of the field, in your end of the field, if you go fourth and you miss a fourth down, that's just as good as a turnover. That's just as good as fumbling the ball right there to them.
Yeah. Turnover on downs is a turnover. Yeah,
giving them a short field. And, you know, I mean, that Crosby penalty at the end of towards the end of regulation, that was rough. So we gave them a lot. We had a lot of penalties today, a lot of penalty yardage too. What was it? Eight for 100 and something. Eight for 104. Penalties for 104 yards. But you know what? Good teams are able to overcome mistakes. And we were able to do that today. So that shows that, you know, we have heart and we can overcome a lot of adversity.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to be excited about for the Raiders. There's obviously plenty of things to worry about. The defense just – I tweeted something today, like – I forgot what it was. I tweeted this morning something like, oh, my God, the Raiders are going to feast on the you know, on the opposition today. And I was like, I know for a fact this is the first time I tweeted this because the last time I thought that, Twitter didn't exist. Like, that's how long it's been. So I'm like, yeah, I feel confident in our defense. And, yeah, they still scored 28. Obviously, seven of that was a pick six. Overtime added it up. But and remember, it's like I said, like the pressure on Brissett the entire game was so big. We only ended up with what? How many? Three sacks? Let's see. Two sacks. Yeah. Right? Which is shockingly low. But remember what I said, I think it was last show, the show before that. Sacks are obviously great. Sacks are obviously matter. Like sacks are what you want. But the best gauge of a good pass rush is how many pressures. Because even though they weren't getting a lot of sacks, they were in Brissett's face the entire time. Multiple times, Crosby's just draped over Brissett, and he's throwing an incompletion or throwing something crappy that could have been an interception, something like that. Like, the pressures are what matter. You want pressures more than anything, right? That is the best gauge, the best metric to find out how well your pass rush is, and that's what we're getting. We're just in the face of them the entire time. And that's what matters the most. And that's what we got. Like, it's not a good, like, the Raiders don't have a good fantasy defense, right? They're not getting pick sixes or like five sacks a game, but they're being really goddamn effective. And that's what I care about more.
Yeah, they had seven quarterback hits and they didn't blitz a lot. I mean, Miami had nine, but three of them were Brandon Jones off blitzes. Yep. So they had to blitz to get those. They had to put themselves in a precarious position defensively in order to get those hits. We didn't have to. I'd say all of our quarterback hits were from our down linemen. Crosby had two, Ngakoue had one, Solomon Thomas one, Carl Nassib one, Jefferson one, Hankins one. So yeah, those were the quarterback hits. We didn't have to blitz to get pressure again, which helps our the back end of our defense out.
We need Derek Carr to do like a quarter and a half long warm-up. First game of the season, he was super cold for a quarter and a half. Third game of the season today, super cold for a quarter and a half. Like, can he just go onto the field with the entire offense and just play a quarter and a half of football? Just like play a scout team defense, play the beer vendors, play fans. I don't care. Just find 11 people in the stadium and hey, all right, Derek Carr, you're going to play 22 and a half minutes of football because he apparently needs a quarter and a half to warm up. I kept this stat. I called it. At 6 minutes and 9 seconds into the second quarter, I tracked Derek Carr's stats. I was like, all right, he's playing terrible. Watch. He's going to go off. At 6:09 of the second quarter, Derek Carr was 10 of 9 for 134 yards, 7.1 average.
10 of 9?
10 of 19.
Okay.
Did I say 10 of 9? Yeah, 10 of 19. Yeah, two completions with one throw. That's how good he was playing. 134 yards and a 53.4 quarterback rating. Right? That was at that point in the second quarter. He ended 26 of 43, 386 yards, 9 average, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, 95.7 passer rating. I knew it. I knew he would, because he just starts so damn slow. Like, is he not stretching enough? Do we got to put him on like an Aerodyne machine before he goes out there? Like, he just always starts so slow. But he always takes off late when we need him. And that's going to be the thing this season. It's going to be the defense bailing us out early, offense taking over late. I'm telling you, it's happened twice in three games. It's going to be the theme for the rest of the season.
I think we have to look at the scripting by John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
The first 15 plays of the game. And after that, Carr has a little bit more wiggle room to change plays and call the plays at the line from what he sees. Part of that is it's a negative and a positive. You know, John Gruden scripting plays doesn't really know what the defense is going to do. But the way he scripts his plays, it's not only to get yardage to score points. It's also to bring out tendencies from the defense, which Carr then uses later in the game. So it's a plus and minus, which is it gives us just Carr more ammunition as a smart quarterback. But I want to talk about one thing real quick.
You want to talk about Gruden's play calling, please? Or Gruden's like game management?
Oh, God. We'll talk about that later. I want to talk about that. That interception, Foster Moreau stopped running. Mm-hmm. And Foster Moreau didn't have a very good game at all. Mm-hmm. He had a big pass interference against himself. He basically caused that pick six by cutting the route short when he shouldn't have. Yeah. Are we sure he should have?
Are we 100% sure? Because it looked like a route where like you settle into the zone if it's a zone, and if it's man, you keep going. Because he would have kept going, he would have caught it. Carr thought he should have kept going. Whether it was Carr's fault or Moreau's fault,
if I'm gonna pin it on one or the other, I know Derek Carr knows his offense inside and out.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't. I mean, 99 out of 99 times, he hits the quarterback knows what he's doing, and he sees what he has a better view of what he's seeing than the receiver does. But he should have been called for a couple of holding calls. He's getting trucked trying to help out blocking. So Foster Moreau didn't play too terribly well today.
He was just part of all the offensive line problems that we had today.
Yeah, Jack, he was under pressure, but Moreau just stopped. Mm-hmm. Moreau just stopped. If Moreau would have kept running his route, it would have been a completed pass.
Yeah. Let's talk about John Gruden's game management, because it's going to give me a heart attack. It is a roller coaster how he manages a football game. So you look at calling a timeout with that near touchdown where it was down at the goal line, and he calls a timeout to give the refs a chance to like assess it themselves. Why not just throw the flag? Why not just throw the red flag? If you're wrong, then they cost you the timeout that you already just spent.
Yeah, like, that was a head scratcher.
That made no one. It was a terrible. Like, it was clear. He was clearly down. Like, Drake was clearly down. You know, on like the 1 yard line, right? Like, y'all saw it in the replay. Okay, Gruden makes bad calls all the time, but he wastes the timeout instead of just genuinely calling it when you could have just lost the timeout anyway. Dumb. And then why did he not kick it the second we were within a chip shot field goal range of Daniel Carlson? Like, why are you going for it? Why are you giving it to Peyton Barber, who already fumbled on the goal line once today on 3rd-and-1 when you could have just chip shot at Daniel Carlson? He has the longest field goal streak. I know Daniel Carlson missed his extra point. Even the great sometimes miss, right? Yeah, he has the longest field goal make streak in football. And you're like, no, let's hand it to the kid, the free agent off the scrap heap player. Give it to him on 3rd-and-1 when Daniel Carlson just chip shot it. Like, what is Gruden thinking?
Well, the same thing he was thinking by giving Kenyon Drake all that money, and he's being outplayed and leaped over in the depth chart by a guy they picked up off the scrap heap after the second week of the year.
Yeah. Did Daniel Carlson mix that extra point on purpose just for his fantasy points?
Just for the drama? Just for hitting up? I did it for the drama. Got to build up some drama up in here.
Also, Vegas fans, they still – okay, I get it. Like, it's a new franchise. This is your second game, not counting preseason. They still haven't learned when to cheer and when to shut the fuck up. They still haven't learned. Derek Carr had to do this, like, wave, like, put the hands down, like, 5 times? 6 times? Like, shut up, crowd! We're on offense! We need to hear! Save it for when Brissett's, like – carving us apart in a 2-minute drill. That's when you should be screaming, and that's when they're quieter at the bar.
It's tough, man, because, you know, they're in Vegas, so they've been up for, you know, 36 hours.
That's like me. I was in Vegas last night. Flew in this morning. I'm not. I knew when to cheer. Boy, are they in trouble. Bazing. Can we talk about that Dolphin safety in the first half? Yeah.
The safety. Oh, yeah. That was a terrible call.
Throwing a screen. I kind of understand what they were doing because the Dolphins offensive line played a lot better than I thought. Still not great. Like, obviously, like, we got all those pressures. They kept the sacks down decently. They ran the ball here and there. Brissett had time, especially during the pair of 2-minute drills that he ran. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm most worried about, is if Brissett can carve us apart in a 2-minute drill. Like, Jesus, wait till we're in Kansas City. Wait till we're in LA. Like, those are going to be rough.
Like, next week, dude, freaking Herbert. Look what we did today.
That's what I'm saying.
Like an ice water, man.
Wait till the Chargers come to town, but or they're in LA, right?
Really,
Monday Night Football. Same thing.
It's our
vacation home, right? Yeah. LA's our vacation home.
It's like your good buddy down the street that, like, you can stay over when, like, the door's open for you whenever. It's kind of like your second house.
If you ask if you can go in the fridge and grab a drink, and he gives you a weird look, it's like, dude,
like, why are you asking?
Just give him it anytime you want. Go ahead.
That is the Clifford household for me. I will say that. But whenever I go in there, I go in there and I grab a beer and I make a sandwich and I get down into my underwear. I sit on the couch.
We welcome all homeless, downtrodden, brain dead individuals because we are a charitable household. We are a strong Christian valued based household, and any idiot, Soto or otherwise, who needs a helping hand, we are willing to provide that. You know,
I do have to pee outside.
But that's just fun, because if you have RJ, you got to pee on it.
And he lives there.
That's where the dogs pee. That Daniel Carlson missed extra point is what sent us into overtime and made it so crazy. That officially, since he missed that extra point, that officially has now made Hunter Renfro the, I don't want to say the most consistent player because it's still the Raiders, but the least frustratingly inconsistent player on the Raiders, right? Instead of a positive, I'm going to go double negative when it comes to that. Hunter Renfro had himself a game. Clutch, big throws.
This kid, he just goes out there and he makes plays. You know, you could talk about his size. You could talk about his speed. You could talk about all his measurables and this and that.
His moves.
And you can't put his value on a sheet of paper. You know, you can't, okay, well, he's this tall, he's this big, he's this fast. This guy just knows how to play football. He knows he's like the new age Wes Welker, man. He was the same type of thing. Not super fast, not super big, but he knew how to get open and he has great hands. And you know, if you sleep on him, he'll get behind you.
Peyton Barber is the most effective runner on the Raiders. A team that's the only team that has a $3.5 million third string quarterback, Jalen Richard, who happens to be on IR, right? A $11 million 2-year contract backup running back, Kenyon Drake, and a first round pick running back in Josh Jacobs. You think, all right, that's like one of the best running back rooms in football, right? On paper, right? They're paid some of the highest, some of the best resumes. Oh, man, that's a great room. Who's the best? Who's had the best game of those three? Trick question. Peyton Barber, off the scrap heap, free agent. Again, I love me some Josh Jacob. I'm gonna miss him when he's gone. But when it's time for when that fourth year's up and it's time for that option, or hopefully we trade him before that, get some value out of him. Because if Peyton Barber behind this line can be our best runner, it is not who's back there. It's just how the line chooses to play. And the line, we haven't been able to run the ball all season. And despite the fact that we hadn't been able to run the ball for the first half of this game, Peyton Barber came alive late, which I guess is just because the Dolphins defense started to kind of slow down and wear down. And the Raiders offensive line was fresh because they weren't doing jack for the first half. They were very well rested from not doing anything in the first half of the game. So they took over the second half of the game. Our run game will live and die by the offensive line and its health. Period. I don't care if it's you back there, Soto. It's going to live and die by the offensive line's health.
Yeah, Peyton Barber is a little bit more of a physical back. And
Well, he hits holes. Like he, yeah, like he hits Drake's just kind of like, oh man, I might no, this isn't gonna
Drake
work.
Is such a disappointment, man. He is such a disappointment right now. He's not running well. He's not seeing. They're not running a scheme that's conducive to with Drake. The way he runs, you have to do more of a power running scheme with him and say, this is the hole, this is mm-hmm. where you hit it, and go from there. But you know, Peyton Barber and Jacobs, you know, run that stretch zone style a little bit better. And they're a little bit more, you know, they still hit the hole hard, but they're a little bit more patient initially. It's disheartening to see how poor of a game Drake had. What, eight carries for 24 yards. You know, he had three catches for 33, which is, you know, 11 touches for 57 yards. Mm-hmm. Kind of lighting the world on fire.
This game receiving wise was a lot more similar to Steelers than the Ravens. Remember the Ravens, it was 19 targets to Waller, you know, 10 receptions. And then it was, you know, spread around the second game. This was more like game two than like game three. Bryan Edwards led the team with yardage with just 89. Hunter Renfrow tied Darren Waller for most receptions, 5. Henry Ruggs had another like good game by his standard, 4 receptions, 78 yards. Renfrow and Ingold had the only 2 receiving touchdowns. How about Alec Ingold catching Peyton Barber's fumble on the goal line midair, almost getting it himself? Then Gruden's like, okay, you recover a fumble on the goal line. We're giving you a spider white. Yeah, we're giving you a you're getting spider white banana, right? You're getting the rock and you're scoring a touchdown. Ingold and Renfrow, the only 2 touchdown receptions for the Raiders.
Yeah, you know, that was my big worry. Is this Dolphins team just knows how to make great turnovers. Mm-hmm. They know how to create turnovers, and they do them at very opportune times to keep you out of the end zone and to make it easier for them to get in the end zone. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, one stat that I really want to take a look at here, and is this shows you how different the game is for Derek Carr this year as in previous years. Zay Jones, his longest catch, 15 yards. Peyton Barber, his longest catch, 23 yards. Kenyon Drake, longest catch, 16 yards. Waller, 23 yards. Renfrow, 25. Ruggs, 23. Edwards, 34. Pushing the ball down the field more. And it goes to show you that he has the tools to do it. And we need every bit of it to win these games. It didn't have to be this nail biter. It didn't have to be a nail biter like this, but you know what? Yeah. The Dolphins get paid to get paid to play too. They're professionals as well. Those are professional athletes out there. And that's what they do. They make games ugly. And it just so happens that they were the one turning the ball over last week. And they were the one with the stupid penalties last week against the Bills. Yeah. They lost Tua. And now, one thing I will say about last week for Miami, the Tua offense is completely different than what you saw today with Jacoby Brissett. Theirs was more of like a running style, like a college up-tempo. Everything's either an RPO or a play-action type offense to get Tua on the run, throwing the ball on the run, and get everyone kind of the scramble mode. That's more their offense with Tua in the game. With Brissett in the game, they looked a lot better offensively at times, but it was especially late. You know, but we gave them, you know, basically gave them 14 points.
The Dolphins offense is basically the Raiders offense, except they have Jacoby Brissett and we have Derek Carr. Like, look at the weapons. Like, the Dolphins have weapons. Like, Gesicki's a legit tight end.
He's a legit tight end.
Jalen Waddle, Devontae Parker, William Fuller. That is a handful.
Yeah,
that is a serious handful
backs,
of weapons.
Malcolm Brown, they got
Malcolm Brown, Gaskins. Like they have weapons, but the problem is their offensive line is terrible. Ours is not great, but that's mostly because of injury. And then so like that's kind of the same. Like our weapons, damn good. Like they don't have anybody as good as Waller, but like I would say, like, if you took all their best weapons, average them out, they're about the same as all of our weapons averaged out, right? I'd say
yeah. You know, like
pretty
like
close.
I said,
not like when both healthy, pretty close. Lines both equally shitty for different reasons. But yeah. We have Derek Carr. They have Jacoby Brissett. That's another example of just how big Carr has been the last like two, three seasons. Is he has like, that's the difference maker between the Raiders and the Dolphins on offense only.
Yeah, honestly, like I said on Wednesday, they're a mixture of the Ravens and the Steelers, just not as good. They have weapons. They're just, you know, I would take our weapons over their weapons. I would take our tight end over their tight end.
Yeah,
you know, we didn't even see Ahmed very much, or if at all. And he's like their big pass catching back out of the backfield. He's really quick. Mm-hmm. But man, this is what they do, man. This is how they win games, and this is how they won games last year. Is they just made the game ugly. They weren't overly, you know, overwhelming last year either offensively. Yeah. They just found a way to stay in games and made them ugly, and they got timely turnovers. You know, Xavier Howard last year broke out and had an interception almost every single game. Mm-hmm. But that's how they play. This is how they play. This is how this team wins. They're not going to beat you on star power and just ability. They're going to beat you by making you look bad and making you make mistakes. And fortunately for us, they had 8 penalties as well. Not nearly as many yards as we did, but they did prolong some drives for us with their penalties.
Brissett was the right quarterback for our type of pass rush. Like, there were multiple times where I saw like Yannick Ngakoue just like fire off like a bullet out of a gun, and it would be just like a dive down the middle or an RPO of some kind, or Brissett just kind of list like slightly to the left, and like Ngakoue just like zoom, just like fly right by him,
yeah,
and he'd be able to scramble out and go. Now if it's a stationary target on like a 5-step drop, Ngakoue's going to take his head off, right? So, like, against, like, you know, the Chargers, or, you know, when the Giants coming up, or, like the Washington football team coming up, that's exactly what you want. But against, like, the Chiefs, or like we saw today, mobile quarterbacks, they're going to be our kryptonite. And even though, like, our pass rush, I'm not saying change it, because the pressure still broke up plays, still got some sacks, still got things where we want. But really smart mobile quarterbacks are our kryptonite. Like, guys are just like hair on fire looking for sacks, which is how you have to play in this and Gus Bradley's offense. But that type of style, how you beat it, be an athletic quarterback. And we saw like a poor man's version of that be pretty effective today.
Yeah. You know, he's a lot bigger than I thought he was.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett. He's a big guy. 6'4", 235. He's a big guy.
That's what people say about me when my zipper's down.
Stop it. He shrugged off a lot of sacks that even got Big Ben down last week.
Yeah.
He's a big kid, man. He can move around the pocket too. He does a good job of creating extra time for himself around the, he's not the kind of guy that's going to roll out and beat a guy to the corner to give himself a better throw, but he's going to move around in the pocket and extend plays. And we saw it on that game tying touchdown the touchdown that led to the 2-point conversion. He can move when he needs to, and he shook Perriman on that. It was him and Perriman at like the 2-yard, 3-yard line.
Yeah,
he gave him a little jab step, and Perriman just whiffed. And
Perriman had a game. 14 Perriman tackles, is a thug, dude. Polo. Perriman had a game. That wasn't his play, but Perriman had a game. Like, because on paper, I thought in the 2-minute drill, that's when our defense would take over, right? Jacoby Brissett, you're like, okay, they can't run the ball. Offensive line's terrible. Instead of Brissett doing like a play action or being mobile, he's just taking 5-step drops and just throwing the ball, trying to get out of bounds. Like, okay, this is when we're going to eat him up. This is where our pass rush is going to get him. We're going to force Jacoby Brissett to be a pocket passer. Nope. That's when they moved the ball. That's when they were most effective, is when I thought our defense would be most effective. And that's going to be a big problem moving forward. We were able to overcome it this time, but that's going to be a big problem moving forward. Again, if Jacoby Brissett in a 2-minute drill can eat us apart, good God, man.
The thing is, the defense worked, okay?
Yeah.
The defense worked in this respect. The Crosby penalty, that would have been a punt. Mm-hmm. So the defense did work. You can't give these guys.
Is giving up 28 chances. Points to the Dolphins saying the defense worked? Well, I guess 21, because
what I'm saying is the defense worked as far as it would have gotten them off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we would have won the game in regulation. And the other time was a 4th and 20. I don't know why you have Gillespie in there covering their best offensive weapon.
Yeah.
That was just a mismatch. And they got 26 yards on 4th and 20. So, I mean, if you asked me before the game, hey, Dolphins are going to be 4th and 20 with a chance to ice the game if you stop them, do you want to take that? I would have said yes. It's just, you know, shit happens, man.
Yeah. Remember when Sanjeet came on our show before the season and he was like, yeah, I think our defensive line's gonna be a top 10 defensive line. I was like, okay, dude, whatever. He might have undersold them. He might have undersold our defensive line with that kind of pressure that we're getting. And again, it's built knowing what the errors are gonna be, right? Hair on fire, go downfield, get the quarterback, just rush. And so you're going to be able to beat that, you know, with mobile quarterbacks and schemes and stuff like that. But what it's meant to do is doing so effectively. Every single type of offense we've played, every single type of offensive line we've played, we've gotten pressure. Not a ton of sacks, but again, I stand by it. I'd rather make sure the pressures are consistent. Like Max Crosby, when he had his like 4-sack day, was it two seasons ago?
2 years, his rookie year.
His rookie year, like 2 seasons ago, 4-sack day. I was like, that's awesome. Oh, great. And it was clearly good things to come. I'd rather you get consistent, like six pressures a game than like 4 sacks one time and then like 2 or 3 pressures per game moving forward. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather you just consistently get pressure and ruin what's happening in that backfield.
Yeah, I mean, to go along with what you're saying, the interior of our line, those defensive tackles have been playing amazing.
Yeah.
So fifth on the team in tackles today, Jonathan Hankins, tackle, tied for sixth. Quentin Jefferson had 4. Darius Filon had 4. Solomon Thomas had 4. So these guys were all around the ball, and it wasn't just they're creating. When you get pressure on a quarterback, it's not just you only do that on passing downs. You're in the backfield all the time, and that pressure comes up the middle, so they can't shade to either side, because if you do that and leave these guys up the middle single covered, or you know just leave a back on one of these guys, they're going to get through. So big props not just to the defensive line, but the interior guys were playing really well today, and they had the sacks. I mean, Solomon Thomas had a half a sack along with Carl Nassib, and Quentin Jefferson had a sack. And I had big hopes for Jefferson. I don't know if you remember when we signed him. I'm like, you know what? Keep an eye on this guy, man.
Everything you say 10 seconds after you say it.
Oh, well.
That's how I stay
sane. When I say stuff about Derek Carr.
Yeah, because that one sticks in my brain. I always remember how much you shit on Derek Carr. I can't wait to do What Up Windbag's next show, because the entire comment section is people just asking why you can't admit you've been wrong about Derek Carr.
I have not been wrong.
He's had 5 straight 300-yard games. He gets to 6, he ties Rich Gannon for the Raiders record. Like, he has been wrong.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been wrong. I told. Okay. I said from the very beginning.
I'll let the windbags be the judge of that.
Fucking brainwashed by you.
But there's we're both here, Soto. Like, we're both. They're not drones. Like, they hear.
No,
what
yeah,
you say.
They are.
They see
they
the
are.
Game. And they can make their own judgments.
Okay. Let them make their own judgments. And I give 2 shits what they say.
I don't believe you. Why are you in the comment section arguing all the time then?
I'm not arguing.
Uh-huh. You're arguing right now. You're just very argumentative.
I'm defending
myself.
That's
okay.
I'm not arguing.
That's why I took you under my wing. Again, Derek Carr, 26 of 43, 386 yards, 9-yard average, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Bad one, pick 6, dug us in a 14-0 hole. Did get sacked 3 times, no fumbles for him this time. Andre James had a muff punt, and then obviously Peyton Barber had that fumble. Neither one of them got recovered, which was good. No turnovers for our defense, though, which is kind of worrying. We got to get not even a forced fumble, no picks. Jacoby Brissett, can't get some hands on those balls? You know what I mean? You can't jump her out, nothing? You know, get under some of those Jalen balls? Yeah,
we had a couple of chances, you know, and it's like you said with fumbles, like you just when you fumble, it's like a toss up who's going to get the ball. You know, it just bounces everywhere.
Causing a fumble.
No, not causing. Fumbles. Recovering.
Is very skillful, right? Recovering is
and,
like.
And Miami is very good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very good at
that. Recovering fumbles is just super random. Like, there's no team that, like, for a three-year stretch, like, does it consistently well, right? It's, like, such a – that's, like, all the metrics guys, whenever they're looking to see, like, who's going to do better in a season before, it's, like, how many fumble recoveries do they have, right? If they recovered, like, 15 of 18 fumbles, you're like, okay, there's no way they're going to sustain that, right? Not going to happen again, right? And next time they do, like, you know, like, 7 for 20 the next season, right? It's going to – you know, regress to the mean type of thing, right? You know, nerd math. But causing them, I'd like that to be a part of it. Although our DBs did play really well. There were some really deep balls against really, really dangerous and good receivers. And other than Damon Arnett, who still seems just like not be able to get on board.
Completely lost.
Most people seem to
figure out. How are you going to give Devontae Parker that much room on the goal line on that 2-point conversion? Mm-hmm. It's that's ridiculous. Anyway, does anyone play smarter than a person who's like knows he shouldn't be playing but he is? I mean, after Peyton Barber after he fumbled on the goal line, he's like, oh shit, I better get right. He had both hands on the ball. He was running like this the entire time, and unless he was in the open field, like his last big run. He ran through the middle of that line like, I'm tucking this shit up. I'm protecting it with my chin. There's no way.
I was like literally mumbling to myself. Ask my wife who was watching the game with me. I was literally mumbling to myself, two hands on the ball, two hands on the ball, two hands on the ball, two hands on the ball. Just don't turn the ball over. That's all I care about. Like that's all literally everyone cares about for Peyton Barber to do. Just don't fumble. Just hang on to that ball, please.
Don't screw up.
So again, distribution of the ball, awesome. Bryan Edwards, 3 receptions. Henry Ruggs, 4. Hunter Renfrow, 5. Darren Waller, 5. Kenyon Jake, 3. Peyton Barber, 3. A bunch of other guys got 1. This is a great message to everyone who game plans against the Raiders moving forward, right? If you're going to bracket Waller, double team Waller, focus on Waller, we're going to spread the ball around. If you're like, all right, Waller's not really a problem anymore. He's only getting, you know, he had as many receptions as Hunter Renfrow. All right, we'll just make sure we have to cover everybody. Boom, throw the ball to Waller 15 times in a game. Like, that's exactly what we're looking for. And now Ruggs is more than just a metaphorical deep threat. He's actually a true deep threat. Like, before it was just like he was just a 40 time on a piece of paper. And defense is kind of like based it on that. Now it's genuinely like, okay, he's actually going to beat us if we don't cover him.
Carr threw to Ruggs on a deep ball, on a 50-50 ball against Xavien Howard. Mm-hmm. Probably one of the top 2 or 3 corners in the league.
Yep.
That is a different mindset as Derek Carr has had in the past. And I think part of that is he has more trust in Ruggs. He's shown more than he did last year. And he put the work in. They said, hey, go in the offseason, get bigger, get stronger. You'll still keep your speed, which he has. But yeah, man, these are big steps moving forward for the entire team and the offense of the entire team.
Yeah. Before we get out of here, my biggest takeaways are defense bailing out our offense early is great. It can only last so long. I mean, as long as Derek Carr and the offense is still putting together a good offensive game, right? 31 points, 380 yards passing, finally had a 100-yard rusher, right? As long as they can do that eventually, it's forgivable, but why not just start hot? You know what I mean? Just warm up for like a quarter and a half. Let's do that. And we're still consistently getting pressures, and that's still drastically affecting our opponent's offenses. Just keep that pressure going. Great. I don't care if the sacks come, way better. But just stay in the quarterback's face, and I'll be happy. And offense, let's not start so cold as best as possible, please, for the sake of any future aneurysms I may have. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you have to go back to Gruden's, script, you know, there's what, 6 games in a row now where they haven't scored in their first drive.
Yep.
Leading it to last year. So that's a problem. That's definitely a problem. The end of the year, last 3 games were 3 and out. No, these first 3 games, no points. So, We can't rely on our defense to come up that big, that consistently, especially when we're going to start playing some, I would say, much more talented offensive teams. Like next week, you know, we got the Chargers next week. You know, we got the Chiefs coming up. So yeah, it's going to be, it's going to get tougher defensively. And, you know, we need to make sure that we keep everything firing defensively and our offense doesn't put us in a hole again.
AFC West, Raiders 3-0 over good teams. Broncos 3-0 over shit teams.
Over shit teams.
Fourth place, last in the AFC West, Kansas City Chiefs. Ah, oh, you poor suckers. All right, well, yeah, we'll be back on Wednesday with our regular show, both on the podcast and on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube page. Cross-pollinate. Audio, visual, we're in your face the entire time. But until then, knock on wood if you're with me.